C1G.
Number 11A.
So today we will go over the 7 days of creation again, but from various standpoints. And I would like you to make with me a gentleman agreement or a lady agreement that during the next 4 or 5 hours the subject may get a little bit complex or perhaps a little bit difficult, especially for those who are not acquainted with the system of Christian Science as has been presented by John Dolly, that he is not getting irritated if he doesn't get it, but just feels, well, I sit here and wait until I begin to understand again what I'm saying. But I give these talks not only for your class, or I would not bring in various subjects at all, but I give this talk because it's the only time I will talk on Genesis as a whole, and will never do it again, and so I like to have it taped, and therefore I must fill in all the subjects that appertain to the chapter Genesis for also for future generations. So in 10 and 20 years the students may be trained and thrilled much more in the system of Christian Science, and then it is for them a great help to have a presentation of various aspects of Genesis, which up to now has not been presented in writing in detail. So please be kind to me, and kind to you, and kind to the subject. Tomorrow we'll start with the second record of creation, and then you are treading again on more familiar grounds. The very first point I want to take up is that those 7 days of creation always end by the rendering and the evening and the morning were the day. First, second, and so on, day. And if we only would read this in the Bible, it wouldn't really make a great impact on us. It would just be a kind of enumerating. We have done now the first day, we have done now the second day, that's that. But through the interpretation that Mrs. Eddy gives in the textbook on these simple statements are so impressive that we can now go over those renderings in each day and see what they really imply. And we'll see that every time she gives to this rendering, and the evening and the morning were another day, that to every day she gives a different aspect of the line of creation, of how creation develops and develops through the periods of progress. At the end of the first day, where she is showing that the evening and the morning were the first day, she depicted that step of progress as spiritually clearer views of Him. And so you can at once detect in that rendering that it is the day of mind, the first day, and that that day of mind as a period of progress would show that mind, first of all, must enlighten our consciousness so that mind translates itself to us as spiritually clearer views of Him. And we see everything must start with the mind, which is God. The mind that knows all things, and mind that gives us vision, that gives us new insight into the realm of reality. So the very first day is that step of mind giving clearer views of God. The second day, where she explains, and the evening and the morning, where the second day, she shows the following, and you hear a difference between the first day now very distinctly. She says, thus the dawn of ideas goes on, forming each successive stage of progress. And you can see the tonality here is that these spiritually clearer views of him, as presented in the first day, are in the second day an ordered sequence, forming each successive stage of progress, so that we acquaint our thought with the order of spirit and see that if we want to understand the signs of creation, that we must channelize our thought to see order, that we see sequences in being, order, spiritual, successive stages of progress. So that we are not just looking out for here a new idea, there a new idea, and think if we have here a new idea and there a new insight that we make progress. We will not make progress. In the science, we can only make progress through ordered thinking, through an ordered sequence of ideas. When we have the third day and the evening and the morning where the third day, that was explained again differently. And you hear at once the tone of soul. See, in mind, we had the tone of mind as spiritually clear views. Spirit, we had the order of spirit, the successive sequence of ideas. And now in soul, we hear that the third stage, she said, is letting in the light of spiritual understanding, and that that day really corresponds to resurrection, and therefore we see that we can only make progress really through that third stage of soul, where we see without our intention and our endeavor of letting ourselves be transformed and resurrected through spiritual understanding, that we will not make further progress. That progress, therefore, demands that we are willing really to change, to reform, and this is not so obvious. Many students just feel they want to gather new information without being willing to reform and to resurrect their character and their attitude. If that is not fulfilled, that within oneself is constantly that desire that I want to know more about God, not for the sake of knowing more, but for the sake that it changes me, that it resurrects me out of an old frame of reference, then something would be missing. When we come to the fourth day of creation, and the evening and the morning was the fourth day, then we hear here principle, namely that God's infinite ideas, images, mark the periods of progress. Now we see that there are periods of progress. Well, that's the way at that time that it was expressed. Today we would say that there are mutations that bring forth progress, namely paradigm shift. A paradigm shift is exchanging one frame of worldview for another frame of worldview, that it is really a new model of thought. It is therefore that important, most important point, we are willing to let go of an old paradigm and are willing to expect to be structured through a new paradigm. And this is always difficult for the human mind. It just never wants to let go of that which one has studied over 20 and 30 and 40 years. One wants to hold on to that and say, well, I'm quite willing that that is polished up a little bit and that I see some kind of a new aspect about the old paradigm. And this is no period of progress. We always should be at the stage within our conscious where we feel I'm ready to let go of everything the way I have approached the textbook, the way I have been reading the textbook. I'm constantly at the point of willingness to make a mutation of my model of approach, the model of thought, a paradigm shift. That's principle that asks that. That's science that asks that. When we come to the fifth day and the evening and the morning, where the fifth day, we hear at once the tone of life very much. Namely, here it is that Mrs. Eddy says, advancing spiritual steps lead on to spiritual spheres and exalted beings. Again, can you see the tone of life? Life is always that which exalts. Therefore, it must lead to an exalted sense of being, not to a polished up sense of my old being. It is really putting off the old man and putting on the new man, so that we are really trying to consider the whole world from an exalted standpoint, and therefore with quite a different point of view, where there is no more human righteousness, but where there is divine righteousness, where there is no more the merits of the work, but where there is grace. All these exalted steps must be made if we want to advance spiritually, or we get stuck. When in the sixth day, the Bible says that the evening and the morning was the sixth day, she explains that completely different again, namely according to the tonality of truth. What is that tonality of truth? There, you see, we know that the sixth day is the climax of creation, that is the last creative act there. Therefore, it shows that the sixth day is that day where nothing is new to spirit anymore, which means that it is the day of consciousness where we can take in the whole of creation, where truth takes in all what we have seen in mind, in spirit, soul, principle, and life, and take that in and know that that is the truth of creation and there is no other creation. Nothing can be novel to the eternal mind, she says here. You see, in two, three renderings, she brings out that really that sixth day, the evening and the morning, is a state of consciousness which can take in the compound idea of the universe. What is the seventh day? And the evening and the morning were the seventh day. Well, I just have to look that up, because what I said is wrong anyway, because here we don't have any more a rendering, huh? And the evening and the morning were the seventh day, just says, and on the seventh day God ended his work. So actually that rendering is no more there. See, at the seventh day we have always the convergence of the becoming with the being. So if on the seventh day the becoming is ended, then there is no more evening and the morning. It's just a day. It's just eternality, as we have seen. Time is eclipsed, and now time has the glory of eternity. And here we just see that it is a state of being blessed and sanctified. So, can you see that those seven stages have the tone of the seven synonymous terms, and that therefore we should not just consider a day or a progress just as progress, just as the term progress, and think, yes, progress, what is progress? Well, progress is when I make progress. We somehow have always to analyze what the term means, and have to analyze a term through the category of the signs of being, here through the category of the seven. And so what is progress? Because the whole science of creation is showing us that becoming, which is a line of progress, and therefore we see, I just summarize it quickly, in mind it says, first there are clearer spiritual views of him. In spirit it says that within ourselves we must have the longing to see that these spiritual clearer views of him have a succession of steps of what it says, forming each successive stage of progress. Therefore that progress must be ordered. At the point of soul we see that progress is a progress that has to do with that spiritual understanding which is willing to let ourselves be reformed and therefore be resurrected. How can we be resurrected? The day of principle says, I can resurrect you through various periods of progress, through various paradigm shifts, if you are willing to let your consciousness be restructured from one worldview or from one concept for another one, for one paradigm to a new paradigm. What should this do, these periods of progress? They should have but one aim in view, namely those soaring aspirations of life, where we see that life's progress is actually directed to one aim, namely to lead us to exalted being, so that we are willing to lay down the mortal sense of ourselves and the world, and therefore have about the whole world a higher and exalted frame of reference, and therefore are willing to lay down the mortal concept of the world. A terrific difficult thing. See, Jesus showed that is true love, with a small l, namely that we let down our life for our brethren, that we let down, that we give up the egotistic sense of being for a soaring sense, and to leave the earth and like the fowls fly above the earth into the open firmament of heaven, where we put no restrictions on ourselves nor on anybody else. This is the freeing, exalting sense. If we do that, then only then can really the sixth day of creation become actuality within our consciousness, can really factualize itself as consciousness. Because then, in that open firmament of heaven, we really can look out into the whole of creation and see that with consciousness we can take in mind, we can take in spirit, we can take in soul, we can take in principle, we can take in life, and therefore can be aware, conscious of the reality of being. And that's the sixth day where nothing is any more novel because we go out from the synonymous term. And so at that point creation finishes, and therefore the very next step is no more an evening and a morning. That seventh day is just bringing us into the eternality of being, into the beingness of being, where everything is complete, where within that being only the divine infinite calculus reigns. And then we have arrived at that point where we feel nothing is ever going on in being but God and His ideas. Yes, that was easy. What follows is not quite so easy, but nice. And of greatest import, if we get acquainted with the categories of being. I take in our study material page 4, and I will take those different points. The very first one is the 7 days of creation from the standpoint of the Word in its four aspects. What does that mean? And you have the epitomes there, but you may perhaps not know what they mean or from where we take them, and therefore I have to explain quite a bit. Prerequisites in order to understand what we are considering here. The problem, I would say, that is considered here is, so to say, the following one. We have been considering the 7 days of creation as an order of ideas. And you could ask yourself, after you have studied them and have been acquainted with them, you could ask another question and say, but what is it that impels the first day to go on to the second day? Why doesn't it stop after the first day? Why does the second day go on to the third day? Why doesn't it stop at the second day? What is it that makes the order to go forward? Is that just a mental acrobatics that we make here? Or is there something in being, a category in being, which is responsible for the fact that something drives mind to spirit, and something that drives spirit to soul, and that drives soul to principle, and then to life, and then to truth, and then to love? What is that driving power? Well, one thing we can easily see is that actually, in those 7 days of creation, we were considering not only that the first day is mind, and the second day is spirit, and the third day is soul, then principle, and life, truth, and love. We were considering something else in addition to it, which is much more important, namely that they succeed in that very order, that they have a succession or a sequence that determines that first must be mind, that determines that after mind we must have spirit and not soul, something that determines that after spirit is soul and not principle or life or truth. There must be a guiding power that directs definite, irresistible, irrepressible, irrevocable line of succession, an order. Now, through our study we have made on the synonymous terms, we know that this order here is the order of the definition of God. What is God? God is mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and law. But we also have seen that this order belongs to a category, namely to the category of the Word. It doesn't belong to the category of the Christ or Christianity or science, because as much as you know, if we put those seven synonymous terms into the category of the Christ, then the order is different, because there is another power at work than the Word, than the creative Word, namely with the Christ, then the power of the Christ translation is at work. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy gives the order differently and says, divine principle, life, truth, and love, soul, spirit, mind. Or those seven synonymous terms can also put into the order of Christianity. When the subject is Christianity, when the subject is how big is an idea, and we have to define the bigness of an idea, then we would put the seven synonymous terms into another category, that of the Christianity, and therefore the order would run as in the glossary. Principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. And even if we go further and say there is a fourth category, namely that of science, then we would get even another order of the seven synonymous term, as shown, say, through the symbol of the candlestick order, namely those arms that say that in the middle runs principle, and the arms are soul and life, spirit and truth, mind and love, all standing on principle. You know all that.